This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. In Norfolk, Connecticut, curling is more than an Olympic sport.
It's a great sport, and they really, you know, anybody can play it, right?
That's Dave Altamari, an investigative reporter with the Connecticut Mirror. He's done a deep dive into how curling is more than an Olympic sport in the small northwestern Connecticut town of Norfolk. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. By participating in the work of CT Mirror, you publish long-form journalism that explains complex policy and fiscal issues. You conduct follow-the-money investigations that explore how taxpayer dollars are spent. And you empower communities and change lives and stabilize our wobbling democracy. If you want to continue to be a part of this Connecticut journalism success story, please make a gift to CT Mirror today. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page. Thank you.
Hello, Dave. What prompted you to investigate this story, considering Norfolk is a really small town off the beaten path in the northwestern corner of the state? And why curling?
Hi, Bong. How you doing? It's actually known as the icebox of Connecticut with good reason. It always seems to be colder there than anywhere else. Since it's the Winter Olympics, we wanted to try to, you know, find some things that would relate to Connecticut. And the Norfolk Curling Club is actually celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. And curling has kind of become like this quirky little popular sport on TV that people like to watch. And as it turns out, the day I was there, the U.S. Mixed doubles team played for the gold medal and lost literally by 1 point on the last end.
Wow. You know, it's one of those things that it's only every 4 years you even think about it. But here is a place where they actually have a tradition of curling that's gone back decades. Could you just tell us a little bit about the Norfolk Curling Club?
Sure. It was actually formed in 1956, and they had a terrible fire there in 2011. It was an arson fire. It burned down the original building, literally left the club in ashes. The fire was so strong that it actually destroyed all of their curling stones. The curling stones weigh 42 pounds, and they're made of granite that comes from this one island off the coast of Ireland. So, and they're not cheap.
Yeah, I thought that was quite fascinating.
$600 or so for just to get one of them.
Yeah.
So,
and they're only from that one spot in the world.
There's actually another smaller place in Wales, I believe, but most of the, so if people are watching the Olympics, those stones come from this island off the coast of Ireland. It's called Isle of Craig.
Wow. Interesting. And you said they're quite expensive. So when they had the arson fire, they lost all their stones.
Everything. The clubhouse burned down. They lost all their stones. It took them 2 years to rebuild, almost $2 million to rebuild. And they were, at the time, they were like 50 to 60 members. Now they're up to about 115. It's a beautiful club. They have two, they call it sheets of ice. A curling sheet's about 125 feet long. And they have two of them there. So on this, the night I was there, there was a league, you know, two matches going on. This is their busy time. This is their big time, right? The Olympics. They have about over 100 people signed up to take learning to curl classes over the next few weeks. So this is the one time when they're in the spotlight.
Another fascinating aspect of this is the age difference. You had an 18-year-old there that day, and you had an 87-year-old.
Aptly known named Ted Stone. He's 87. He's been playing since 1961, which I have to say is longer than I've been alive. And he still plays Tuesdays and Sundays. This particular night, one of the other people there was the 18-year-old daughter, Sam, of the club's ice technician. So he actually wasn't playing. He sat with me and was giving her pointers while she was out playing. And it takes him about an hour to get the ice ready to play. They scrape it, and they have this system they call pebbling, where they spray hot water over the entire surface, and it kind of like beads up so that when they throw the stones, it kind of makes them glide on the faster on the ice. It's a fascinating process to watch. It may look easy on TV, but it's pretty hard to, it's not, you got to remember you're on ice and it's hard to keep your balance. They make it look pretty easy on TV, but I got to tell you, this was the second time I've done it, and I was flopping all over the place trying to throw some stones.
And it's quite cold.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So because you say that everyone was dressed pretty warm.
Yeah, it's about 40 degrees because it's, you know, you have to keep the ice. It's a beautiful facility now. That so the original, they used to keep the ice cold using a compressor from an old ice cream shop in Torrington. And now they have all the state-of-the-art equipment, generators and stuff that, you know, it's basically like a hockey rink.
Now, this is just one of two that we have in Connecticut.
Yes, there's also the Nutmeg Curling Club, which is based out of Darien. They've been around for not quite as long as the Norfolk Club. The interesting thing about the Norfolk Club is you have a lot of people who've been, either they or their families have been involved since 1956. And then you have like the current president, Pete, he actually joined during COVID. He was driving up to Norfolk to go for a hike on the Appalachian Trail, because you can get on the Appalachian Trail up there, and decided to stop by to check it out, and basically literally signed up that day. And now 5 years later, he's the president this year.
Wow. And you also say that there's a whole group of folks that come across the state line to curl.
Yes, there's a group of about 10 or 12 from Lenox, Mass. And they actually went to the club in 2011 for a 50th birthday party. They liked it so much they wanted to join, and then the fire happened. So that they were delayed for a couple of years before they could join the club, but now there's about 10 of them from Lenox. And the night I was there were four or five of them there. It's a little over an hour or so for them to get there. They come from all over. I mean, Norfolk's not easy to get to. But they come from all over the area to play. And it's a pretty steady group of people that do show up and play. A lot of camaraderie.
Wow. And after the game is over, everyone has a beer.
So one of the things, there is a lot of etiquette involved in the game. Everybody shakes hands before they play. And then when the game ends, everybody shakes hands again, and then they retire to the bar that they have there. And traditionally, the winning team is supposed to buy the losing team a beer, and they sit there and talk about the game. The night I was there, both games actually ended in a tie, which I guess is unusual. And so they were struggling to figure out who was going to buy the beers in the bar. But everybody went, and they sit around and talk about, you know, strategy, and because there's a lot of strategy involved in the game. And, you know, what mistakes were made or what were the great shots. And they talk about tournaments they played in, and it's a very collegial atmosphere.
So tell me, you tried your hand out at curling. What was the most difficult part?
I've actually done it twice. This is the second time, and I forgot how hard it is to keep your balance. So when you see it on TV, and these people are really low to the ground when they release their stone, it's very hard to get into that position without falling, quite frankly, and sliding across the ice and still be able to control the stone and throw it to make it accurate. And, you know, the stones weigh 42 pounds. They're not lighter than, and they're not little. So it is harder to get your bearings than it may look on TV.
Wow. Interesting. But it must have been fun.
It's a great sport, and they really, you know, anybody can play it, right? The night, like this particular night. So Ted's 87. And until recently, he's started using, it's called a curling stick. Basically, it allows you to stand up and hook a stick to the stone so that you can push it rather than having to get almost on there, you know, getting down on your knees and getting down on the ground. So he just recently started using the stick. He kind of doesn't like it, but it just was easier for him. I mean, the guy's 87 now, so. So you can play, you know, until your 80s, and you can also play. They have a teen group, like a teen league. you know, for kids just starting out, that they try to, you know, grow the game that way as well.
I like the fact that you said that he says he's thinking of retiring, but he was making plans to be there next Sunday to
play. Yeah, I think that they were all laughing. I think he says that every time they're sitting in the bar having a beer. They also traveled quite a bit. They were recently in Duluth, Minnesota, where the U.S.'s mixed doubles team, actually that's their home club. And there is one Paralympic player who used to be a member of the club who's now out in Wisconsin that they all follow too. So, you know, there are more curling clubs than you would think, but it is they all keep in touch with each other, and it's a pretty collegial group.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, Yvonne.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.